Blog Talk Radio.
How did your Texas Revolution do over the weekend against those new gladiators? I'll tell you this and more, plus a special guest on this week's Revolution Zone. And that's right, the cue of the Nickelback music, whether you like them or not, it's a really awesome song. Welcome to Revolution Zone. I am Jeremy the Impact York. Once again, I want to thank Blog Talk Radio and Impact Media for allowing me to come talk about the Revolution each and every week. It is one of my favorite things of the week, for sure. Today, I'm going to go over my game notes and just some news and notes related to the Revolution, plus, like I said, the game notes for the game over the weekend. But I do have a special guest, and I'm sure if you're tuning in, that's the whole reason that you're actually tuning in. So, without further ado, I want to bring in right now the running back of the Texas Revolution. He's number two on the back of his jersey. He's number one probably in your hearts, from Western Carolina, and honestly not very far from where I grew up right here in Atlanta, Mr. Darius Fudge. How you doing, Mr. Fudge?
Hey, thanks, Jeremy, for having me. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I actually got a workout in earlier. I'm feeling pretty good right now.
Oh, man, they're doing better than me then. I missed my workout today.
Well, I've missed mine for the past couple of weeks because of some media obligations I had, so it was kind of nice to get back in the gym.
Hey, that's the hardest part is getting in there.
Yep, that is true. And like I said, for the most part, people are probably tuning in because they love to hear from you guys. You know, we'll just start real quickly. You know, what does it mean to you being a member of the Texas Revolution?
It's just a great honor. I mean, anywhere that someone allows a platform for me to go and play this game, you know, football that I love to play, I'm always thankful for who allows me to do that, you know, wherever it may be. I've been honored to be a part of this organization for a year and a half now. I actually came to the team middle of the season last year, or late in the season last year, and actually seen a lot of changes throughout the time I've been here, because originally my first time in Texas was actually playing in 2012 for the Allen Wranglers, which was under a different ownership back then. So I've been in Texas for quite a while, but a part of the Texas Revolution for the past year and a half. But it's been a great experience.
Now, just quick side note, were you on the same Wrangler team as Terrell Owens?
Yeah, that actually was my first year here in Texas of 2012, along with the signing of Terrell Owens. So he was actually a pretty good teammate, despite what some people may believe. It was a lot of media coverage, which was actually pretty cool around that time, because you don't get a lot of media coverage around here, but having a future Hall of Famer like that, you know, everybody was barking out the door. We actually even had ESPN at a practice, you know, which is kind of unheard of in those types of leagues, but yeah, it happened.
I remember that practice. I covered it for another show I was on at that point, and had I known at the time that the Allen Wranglers would turn into the Revolution, I would have been covering you guys a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I wouldn't have expected either. I thought, you know, with something like that, the Wranglers would have been the state. But Texas being a football state, I knew if one team left, it wouldn't be very long before another one picked right back up.
Yep, absolutely so. And I guess we'll just start with kind of your brief story up to this point, like how you got to being the star running back for the Revolution.
Okay, Not to bore anybody, any of the listeners, but actually started playing this indoor football game back in 2009. I started my career off professionally in Wichita, Kansas, with the Wichita Wild, which was a member of being the IFL, and had a lot of success early on in indoor football, which is a lot different than most arena football games you see, because they actually do have a running back. So even running back in the outdoor game is becoming a dying position, but I kind of try to rejuvenate it with my level of play and keeping the running back playmaker alive in football, because we actually become the dying breed, or dime a dozen, rather.
Yep, that is definitely true, especially in the National Football League, although this year I think we're going to see a resurgence. There's a lot of defense first, and pound the ball, I believe, is going to start up. So the running back's finally getting some love again.
Yeah, finally. Now that I done got too old to compete, but yeah, finally we're getting some love again. So that's always good to see my brother get on and make plays and go back to the old days of ground and pound and, you know, what people want to see.
Exactly. It's what we all grew up watching, or at least us old folks, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. You know, not the younger generation. You know, pre-90s, definitely know about that.
Yeah, back when Madden was on a 16-bit system, I believe.
Oh, man, you really went back then. Well, you just lost a lot of listeners right there. They don't know what we're talking about. Yeah, 16-bit. It was a 16-bit.
Yeah, there's so many people that just clicked off to Google what 16-bit means. But next thing I wanted to get to is something I like to talk to any athlete about, and I noticed earlier, I believe it was yesterday, that you posted a birthday wish for a family member because of you being in Texas and them being back home in Georgia. You were unfortunately not able to be there for it. How tough is it being away from friends and family a lot of the times to play the game you love?
That's probably one of the hardest things for me, and I'm pretty sure any other player who is, trying to chase a dream of making it, or that's already in a dream of playing in the National Football League, of being away from your hometown to, you know, play a sport that you love and do what you're passionate about. Because at the end of the day, you know, home is where the heart is. You know, most of the time, you don't have family just all over the country, and me especially. I don't have any family outside of Georgia for the most part, so it really gets tough around holidays and birthdays, and, you know, it really sucks back then. But, you know, you just try to do what you can, and thanks to technology, you have so many ways to communicate. It kind of cushions the blow, but still at the same time, you always miss, you know, that part of home, being home and being with your family, especially in special days, special occasions.
Yeah, that always is tough, because I've ran into that with media stuff, is that unfortunately sometimes you have to miss certain events that you really would rather be at, but it's just kind of part of it, and for the most part, most families understand that you're doing it for their benefit, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, man, yeah, that's definitely the truth, because, I get plenty of support behind doing what I want to do, because everyone knows that I'm a free spirit, and I kind of go where I want to go, and, somebody wants me to go play in Kalamazoo, Michigan, I'll be there. Yeah, because that's where my passion is. But definitely think I'm gonna find my way back to Georgia once I'm done and once it's all said and done. But, you know, definitely enjoying my time here in Texas with the Texas Revolution.
And I've heard a couple rumors when I started asking around about you through some teammates and other people associated with the league. So I was gonna give you the platform here to either say, you know, these are truthful, or maybe somebody's stretching this a little bit. Are you a pool hustler?
I am a self-proclaimed pool shark, yes. But to be honest, and just being true, I'm probably average at best, but I talk myself up so good, I usually talk guys out of winning. Talk them out of their game. That's probably my best asset on the pool table, is my mouth, not even my shot.
Wow, then we would be a good duo, because I've been playing pool since I was probably two or three. I had a great uncle who was actually a pool shark, and I don't know that I necessarily got his skills, but I learned how to trash talk, so. It does help.
Yeah, that's what you need half the time. Yeah, definitely. We can definitely win a couple of games together, man, because, I mean, you start talking to people, and, you know, the way pool is, you have to have a lot of finesse. You got to have a lot of accuracy. So if you're off even by, like, a centimeter, it can cause you to miss a shot. So that's what I use. It's not golf. You don't have to be quiet while you're playing pool. I definitely talk the whole time.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And the other thing I had heard that at one point you may have been a model of some kind. Is there any truth to that?
Dang. Got a lot of good sources over there. that's not even self-proclaimed. I have done, a shoot or two. So I guess I am somewhat of a model because it was published stuff. So. By definition, I am one of my many attributes.
Hey, you never know because, especially with this game and given the nature of the business, you never know if today is your last day or not. So, you know, at least having all these things in your back pocket, you know you could fall back on being a model or playing pool for a living.
Yeah, that's true. You always got to have a plan B, I always say. Matter of fact, everybody's got a plan B. Because I'm pretty sure when you were a little kid, what you said you wanted to do when you grew up, you're probably not doing it right now. So you got to have a plan B.
I would definitely agree there, and that would be a long explanation for me on that one. But speaking of a plan B, if I'm not mistaken, you are a double finance major out of college. Is that right?
Not double finance, but a finance major with a concentration in accounting. So I wish I could have did double major, but that would have been twice the work. So no, I just got my undergrad, my bachelor's in finance. So didn't go for the PE route. I was a little bit more forward thinking than thinking that I was just going to be able to play football for the rest of my life and made sure I made the best of my time at Western Carolina University.
Well, and at least that's a skill that you can apply to playing professional football is knowing numbers and knowing how they work.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I figured that if I'm going to be making a lot of money one day, then I need to know how to spend that money I'm going to be making.
Exactly.
Or at least maybe I can tell someone else.
That's true. You never know. You could always parlay a second career into representing some of the guys you played with.
Yeah. What I tell you, you got to have a plan B, Jeremy. Always.
Absolutely. Speaking of, the next thing I'm going to get into is kind of a sore subject for a lot of Atlanta natives, for sure. Well, first I'll get into the Hawks. You're a Hawks fan, correct?
I am a home team fan, so whether it's the Hawks, Falcons, Braves, I'm all for it just because I have to represent for the home team. So, yes, I am a Hawks fan.
I mean, obviously you pull for the some of the Texas squad since you're out there as well, but I know you being from around here, you follow the local teams. And what do you think about what the Hawks have done this year?
The Hawks have really seriously, always been kind of good, you know. I mean, they don't get a lot of exposure because the East is such a bad conference. But they've always been, like, you know, pretty good, or at least middle of the pack, you know. So it was only a matter of time before a middle of the pack team gets it, you know. I guess with the new addition of the coach, you know, it's always one or two things that makes a big difference, and that's the difference between winning and losing and having a great season, and that's what's going on. So I'm really happy about what's going on with the team this year, and I'm really excited for the city. I mean, we haven't had a championship since the Atlanta Braves in 95, I think. So, I mean, I don't care what form it comes in. They can come from the Hawks, the Falcons, the Braves. They can come from anywhere as long as we get us a championship to talk about.
Yeah, I told people just the other day on Impact Media has a Falcons show, and I unfortunately had to break it to a lot of Falcons fans that if you live in the city of Atlanta and you'd like a championship soon, you better be going to Phillips Arena and watching some basketball. It's gonna be a long process with the other teams. And speaking of a long process and with a team, did you follow the Thrashers any?
No, I followed them once they left because I was wondering what happened. I guess I should have followed them. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they left. They didn't have enough people following them. But you know, I actually didn't follow the Thrashers very much.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate thing and a sore subject to me that probably deserves its own podcast one day. But, it's what happens when the wrong people own a team and don't invest money in trying to grow the team. So that's pretty much what happened there. What is something
that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, and especially in the indoor leagues, you definitely see that a lot of times, some owners that aren't in it for the right reasons and you know, sometimes it causes teams to fold and all. Fortunately, you're with a team that doesn't have that problem. But what is something others might not know about you?
The biggest surprise as of late is that people don't know that by day I'm actually a tax accountant. So to see somebody, you know, do what I do on the field, turn around and ask you, can I do your taxes? It's kind of a surprise and a shocker for people when I tell them that I guess I don't fit the prototypical accountant look. But like I told you before, I didn't go to school for nothing, man. I went to try to get the best education and the best knowledge to be successful. So, you know, like I said, can't play forever, so have to do something to make sure your future is bright, even after sport.
Definitely so. And honestly, the tax business is actually a pretty good business. I have a lot of family ties to that. I pretty much grew up with grandparents and aunts running tax offices. So,
well, you know the old saying, right?
What's that?
The only two things that are certain in life is death and taxes. So,
that is true for sure.
I guess it'll always be business for tax accounts.
And as we are on Blog Talk Radio right now for Revolution Zone with Mr. Darius Fudge of the Texas Revolution, I keep having some fans send in some different things to ask you. So occasionally I'll get off the some of the stuff we had talked about before. One says, what do you think about some of these other leagues that are playing that have merged, like the CPIFL and the LSFL? And do you think any more will merge together?
I think it's actually a good thing. I mean, as a player, I can only speak from a player's point of view because, you know, obviously me being a player, I think it's a good thing just competition-wise. You definitely like to play different teams, get different looks. Sometimes it can get a little stagnant having to play the same team two or three times over the course of a season. So it's definitely great as players. One of the things I actually like doing is traveling to other cities, other arenas, meeting other fans, and not just my own. No, don't get me wrong, I love my home fans, but just meeting fans of the game in general and getting their same appreciation. Not so much when you're winning, but still just the fact that they're there and just getting feeding off that energy. I actually do enjoy that. So I wish it could be some way, there could be some type of merger of exhibition games, because I would like to play other teams from other indoor football leagues just to see how their level of competition is. Because I think that actually is some difference in the level of competition whether you go north, east, south, or west of this great country. So I want to see how good the eastern teams are and the northern teams are. I remember when I was with the IFL, we had teams as far as Washington State and all the way up into Rochester, New York. So that was actually pretty cool, just seeing the different regions and, you know, what type of talent they could come up with week in and week out.
And another one that came in, I'm supposed to ask you about your car.
Right now, I am driving a Chevy Camaro. I've actually been a P Camaro driver for 3-4 years. I think I bought my first Camaro in 2011. So I'm a big fan of Chevy. I've always been, and fortunate enough to have a Camaro, my second Camaro now, 2014.
Wow. I won't ask you the color because then people will be able to find you driving down the road because there's probably not a lot of those in Texas. But the fact that you are... And the fact that you drive a Camaro tells me that you are definitely a Georgia boy because around here it is Mustangs and Camaros all day long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Georgia to the day I die, man. I mean, everybody's probably proud of their state and probably, you know, proud of where they came from. But, you know, I think it's just a different type of a pride that comes from being in Georgia. I mean, nothing like a Southern gentleman. A lot of respect for my state and, you know, people from my state like yourself. So, yeah, Georgia boy.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. There's nothing better than a Georgia boy, in my opinion. So, we're a different breed.
Oh, I know one thing. Hey, the one thing that's better than a Georgia boy is definitely a Georgia peach. Everybody out there, you definitely know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. And actually, the person that sent in a thing about your car just told me what color it is, so I won't announce that. So that I can only imagine because I know what that car looks like, and I can imagine that color now. So you have a very nice ride.
Thanks.
I say that may actually give it away as to who might have sent it in. But either way, what's it been like having not only Jen Welter as a teammate, but now as a coach?
Oh, yeah, Jen has been right now. Let me speak on because this is what most familiar to me. Having Jen as a coach this year has been nothing less than amazing for me personally. She is one of the most fire. She's, first of all, one of the most intelligent people out there. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to coach football, unfortunately, but she's definitely one of the most intelligent people out there. And she gives me so much insight and also just keeps me, you know, motivated, keeps me focused, kind of the same way she did last year during the season. Like I said, I came into the season late, didn't know what to expect. Obviously, I heard about her playing on the team, but didn't know what type of person she was. You know, I thought it was just, they just let her on because, you know, she was a woman. Like, I was like, they just let her on because, but... You know, when I got to talk to her and actually find out that she actually knows about the game of football and she knows and has the same type of passion that I have and a lot of the players have for the game, you know, then I was able to accept it and be like, okay, you know, don't matter if she's a female, she loves the game just like I do. Now let's see what she can do. And, you know, I'm really happy to have her a part of the organization again this year.
Yeah, absolutely. She's phenomenal. I've gotten a chance to at least message back and forth. And, yeah, she's – and not just because she's a doctor in psychology. I think that's what her degree's in. But she's just a very educated, just awesome person.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I got to ask you about touchdown celebrations, especially since even though you had the help of one of your, I believe it might have been offensive linemen, but you did a pretty funny one the other night.
I think you're talking about the one where I had Cameron Young lay down on the ground and I covered him up with a towel maybe. That's supposed to be symbolism of the game being over and we put another team to bed. So it might be something that we bring out more than once this year, you know, while we're at home, just to let everybody know, game over, time to go to sleep. Thanks for coming out. So, I mean, celebration is all about having fun. I mean, people ask me why I play this game still, and it's because it's still fun to me. And if I'm not out there having fun, then I don't need to be playing. It's a certain entertainment value that I want to bring to the crowd. People actually pay pretty good money out here in Texas to come watch us play. So I don't want anybody to feel like they're not getting their money's worth at the end of the day. So I'm going to do my part. I'm going to try to go above and beyond to be as entertaining as I can within the confines of the game, you know, without being disrespectful to the game. But It's a very fun game, very exciting, and I want to show that excitement, you know, during my touchdown celebration.
Well, I'll just throw this out here then, and you don't have to do it for sure, but how about the next time you score a touchdown, you can pretend to put some earphones on as a shout-out to the show, or I can try to describe how to do my my impact pose I used to do when I trained to be a pro wrestler for a little while.
Hey, I'm always – look, I ask all week for guys because I know I'm going to score a lot of touchdowns. I ask all week for guys to give me ideas.
So oh, I can give you all good, kinds man, of them, but I don't want to get you in trouble.
No, you can't get me in trouble. The only way you're going to get me in trouble is you stop me from scoring. If anybody else's touchdown stop me from getting in the end zone, then, you know, I probably have to think about it. But no, man, I'm always looking for something. Usually I try to find out what's trending. I remember a few years ago when everybody was mocking Tebow doing, you know, everybody was Tebowing. I did that. So whatever's trending, whatever people can relate to and get a laugh from, just anything entertainment. Like I said, that's all I want to do. I just want to entertain.
That's definitely a good thing. That's the way I've always viewed sports. It's not just that it's athletic and that kind of thing, but to me, sports has always been entertaining. And when it's not, I usually cut it off. And that's part of what drew me to the Texas Revolution is somebody told me about you guys, and I started watching games, and I'm just highly entertained by the way you guys play. So that's kind of what got me into following you guys.
Mm-hmm.
As far as
I want to keep getting more followers.
Exactly, and we'll get to your how people can follow you here in a minute for social media and all that. Ways they can reach out to you and tell you how awesome you are, or share photos, because I know you guys are very photo friendly with Revolution.
Oh yeah.
Somebody just sent in one time you did the TO Sharpie thing.
Oh yeah, I actually did that. That was my first touchdown celebration. I guess you can say, you know, it was in honor of my former teammate. And I actually can say that. That's a former teammate of mine. So, yeah, I did the T.O. pull the Sharpie out of the sock. So it was premeditated. I was a little nervous because I had the Sharpie in my sock, and I was hoping that it didn't, like, jab me in the leg when somebody tackled me. But it actually worked out, and I made sure that was my first one so I can get that Sharpie out of my sock. So. There was no more Sharpies after that, but I definitely, we do it anyway after the game, so I figure, hey, if I make them wait, let me go ahead and give them a signed football right now. So I just signed the football and just threw it to the fan.
And that's a good thing because in the CIF, if you catch a football, one of the officially licensed one, I believe you get free pizza from CC's Pizza for the rest of the year or something like that.
Yes, that's actually one of our corporate sponsors, and each one of those footballs that you get, you do get a free buffet at any CC Pizza in the northern DFW area. It's select locations, but it's quite a few of them.
That's a pretty good deal. I mean, I may have to sneak down there and try to snag one of those balls and get some pizza.
Yeah, I think somebody did do that. I think they were missing about five or six balls, so whoever got those balls, enjoy those buffets. All week long on the Texas Rams.
We're going to have to check the front office and maybe some of the visiting players. They may have hit up the buffet before they left town.
Yeah, it was probably Charlie Hedderbow. He's probably the one who's always mooching off of the free.
We're calling you out there, Charlie. We're calling you out, Charlie. We think you're the one that took the football to CC. So we're going to have to check the file footage at CC's Pizza and see if it was him.
Yeah, he's probably in there in costume or something, man. I don't know.
What are some tips you have as far as maybe workout tips or being fit or nutrition tips?
Oh, I mean, I guess this is my disclaimer. I am not a personal trainer, nor am I a nutritionist, but I do work out. And the biggest thing that I know about working out is just working. Just working. I don't believe in and having a particular regimen, that's fine if you do, but I feel like whatever you do, just do it as hard as you can. I mean, your body's a machine. You know, it's always adapting. So if you just go in and do the same thing every day or every week, then your body's going to get used to that, and you'll never, you know, have any progress. But if you just push yourself harder and harder and harder every time you go work out, you know, whether no matter what you're doing, whether it's running, you know, lifting weights, or whatever type of workout you do, just make sure you do it as hard as you can. And then once you do that, do it even harder. So that's my advice for working out.
I definitely agree. I do the same thing. I never try to do the same thing more than two or three times in a row.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know.
Yep.
There's no secret to it, man. Everybody always wanna know. There's no secrets to it. You just work. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Everybody would be walking around here looking fit. But it's not. It takes hard work. So just get in there and just keep working.
Exactly. I think that's great advice. Next question that was just sent in. How do you get along with the front office?
That must be a front office person. I feel like trying to incriminate me.
That's what I asked. I sent it back. I was like, "You trying to set him up here?"
Yeah, he's trying to set me up. Don't worry about it. I was ready for this question. I'm ready for any question. I told you, I'm firing from the hip. Me and the front office, we get along just fine. I don't have any issues with front office. I mean, we all want organization. Like I said from the beginning, I didn't say team. I'm part of a great organization. It's from the top down. You know, I'm a representation of them, and vice versa. So if you see me doing well, it's because the front office is doing well. Do we always agree? Probably not. But I'm pretty sure no company agrees with everyone in the company agrees, you know. But
yeah.
For the most part, I feel like they have my best interests at heart, and that's why I'm able to go out there and give my best effort and put my best foot forward because, if I wasn't happy, then I wouldn't be able to do what I do.
And as the kind of follow-up tidbit to that last question, Sonny Clark wants you to know he's listening in right now.
Hi, Sonny. Hey, me and Sonny got a really, really, really good relationship. When I was playing with the Wranglers, Sonny was one of my biggest supporters and actually, wished me well and, you know, still wanted me to be a part of this organization even afterwards when a lot of teams were, wouldn't be so happy about somebody coming, a running back especially, coming back off of an ACL injury. Sonny welcomed me with open arms and, you know, actually helped, was a big helping part of me coming back to Texas. You know, a lot of people probably don't know that, but he was one of the key elements of me coming back to not only playing football, but playing football here.
Well, let me get to, because I told you, and you'll be coming up with a question, obviously, for my guest next week, Frankie Solomon Jr., defensive back of the Texas Revolution. I had Sonny on a couple weeks ago, and if I can somehow find his question, because it's not in front of me.
It probably wasn't a good question on signing, so don't even worry about it. It's overlooked. Matter of fact, make up a better question and just say and say he told you.
Oh, here it is. Actually, his question was very similar to what I was going to ask. I just had it split up into two. Sonny Clark's question was, how did your injury affect you last year compared to this season? Like the difference between last year and this year based off the recovery from the injury?
It was the biggest effect was being out of football for a year and a half. That was the biggest thing. I mean, we all want to think that we can just come back and be where we were, you know, after an injury. But being away from the game, no matter if you're injured or not, it still takes time to get back into actually playing the game. Even though you've done it your whole life, if you take a break from anything, you know, it still takes a while for you to get right back into it, or at least into what you used to be. So the biggest thing was just getting back into the feel of the game, getting back to doing what came natural to me, because when I was injured, you know, I couldn't do the things that I normally could do. So one of the things that my doctor had, actually a great surgeon, one of the things that my doctor told me that having a repaired ACL was basically like having a repaired vehicle after a crash. The sound just as good. But every now and then you're going to notice that, you know, something ain't quite right with that car. So same thing with your body. You know, it might look good. It might feel good for the most part. But every now and then I would do certain things and be like, whoa, you know. So just having that year, or sorry, 2 years, to get all those kinks out and to put it in the back of my mind, you know, it really helped. But I know coming back last year, I definitely wasn't feeling like I did, you know, prior to having the injury.
Yeah, he says you seem more fit this year.
Yeah, that's another thing from being away from football. For, I guess, a different type of workout I do for getting prepared for football than I do getting prepared to go to work. So I definitely dropped a lot of weight. When I came back last year, I was probably maybe 15 pounds heavier than I am right now. So I actually lost a lot of weight to prepare for this season as opposed to last season, which I think shows and allows me to do the things that I was able to do before. Definitely made a big difference.
You know, the NFL Combine was just a couple of weeks ago, and I know you probably had a pro day, or at least a simulated pro day, back in college. What would you say is the most important skill for a running back? Is it like speed or agility, or is it something else?
In my opinion, it's definitely agility. It's a combination. I don't think it's one thing. The most important thing is being able to work in small areas, basically being able to work in a box. So short area quickness is the most important thing in being a running back. Just because of the lanes and the holes that you have to run through are so small and so confined that you have to be able to stop on a dime and move from left to right with no hesitation and very fluidly. So just short area equipment is the most important thing.
Now, of course, this year there must be something in the water in the state of Texas, or at least in that Dallas, Allen, Fort Worth area there, because not only was the Cowboys' front line pretty good, but, you know, your offensive line has opened up some pretty good holes. Me and Sonny were talking the other day. There was a few that were big enough that maybe me and him could run through.
Yeah, we have probably the best line I've ever had, because I've been playing indoor football down here. So I'm really excited about these guys, and the crazy part is, we can get so much better. Like, I'm doing really well, but we can do so much better. I mean, the guys up front, they just don't understand, like, how good they are. And I try to tell them, like, hey, like, y'all really are, like, the best line that I've probably had, you know. And these guys, you know, they work well together. The biggest thing is communicating, because the talent is there. Some of the most talented athletic guys that we got, and that causes us to just have so many mismatches. And they help me. Sometimes I don't even have to worry about making one person miss, because they block two people. One person can block two people just because of the athleticism. So it's really amazing the type of line that I have. I mean, I already told them that, you know, if I get to the 1,000-yard mark, which is, you know, pretty much unheard of in indoor football, if I get to the 1,000-yard mark, and, you know, I got something special for them. I won't tell you what I told them, but, you know, I got something special for them. Oh, and plus, every 100-yard game that I get, you know, I take my whole O-line. Thank God it's only three of them, but I got to treat my whole O-line out to dinner, which would be, you know, not a big deal for me, because I'm really appreciative of what they do. I know I wouldn't be able to do it without them.
So. I think that's really great. I think a lot more people can do that. And you can let the offensive line know that they don't have to worry about me or Sonny Clark suiting up anytime soon to be a running back.
Hey, you never know. They might want you to come back there. It's so easy for them. I think you or Sonny can get a touchdown.
Well, Sonny said the hole would have to be pretty big, and I said it has to be open like Waffle House 24 hours a day, because I'm pretty slow. So.
24/7, yeah. Hey, but they can do it. Those guys can do it. Like I said, it's amazing. I can't ever give them enough praise. I mean, even if you can ask our quarterback, Robert Kent, he's back there patting his feet sometimes. He got so much time to throw. He don't know what to do, you know. So, man, those guys are amazing.
It is true. At one point, I thought I saw him arranging his tax papers. Maybe when you got out of the end zone, he was going to have you look at him a second.
Yeah, you know, we're back there doing whatever we want to. We're drawing up plays while the play going on. We have so much time. And the chemistry I have with the line, like I say, it's only going to grow. This is the first time we've ever had to play with each other. So it's only going to get better as the season goes along and get more reps together. So I'm really excited about it. I'm looking forward to it. I try to get them more involved into the celebrations, but, you know, some linemen, they just want to work. They just, you know, blue collar, white hat. They just want to work. They don't want to celebrate. They leave it all up to me. So I'll make sure they get rewarded at the end of the day.
That's awesome. Just a couple more, and I'll let you out of here. It's been great having you on, Darius. And once again, we are joined
by
Texas Revolution running back Darius Fudge right now. I'll tell you how you can follow him here in a minute. What are your hobbies or talents? Obviously, besides toting the rock.
I was about to say, that's my hobby. That's my talent. That's what I was doing. I was blessed. That's one of my God-given gifts. You know, I just burn the ball. But no, you already touched on one of my hobbies, and, you know, it's playing pool. I actually do love playing pool. Like I said, I'm probably average at best at playing, but I really do enjoy playing the game, you know, because it is challenging, and it really does take a lot of skill and precision to be good at it, so. And strategy. I'm actually a better chess player than I am a checkers player. That means anything to anybody. So I like strategizing. I like thinking. I like games that make you think. Now, at the same time, I like to dumb it down too. I will play checkers just to give my mind a break. But if I'm not working out, that's actually one of my hobbies. If I'm not working out, one of the things I do like to do. I'm a real big gamer. I don't know if it's because of my generation, but I grew up with video games. I grew up with the Nintendo. I grew up with the 16-bit. The Super Nintendo moved on up. So I've been a gamer my whole life. So if I'm not working out or out playing some pool, then I definitely spend my time in front of a television getting some Call of Duty or Madden.
Well, I don't know about Call of Duty, but definitely we should hang out sometime. We have a lot in common. I don't know about Madden. I can hang with a lot of people. I'm not the world's best because I usually don't get a lot of time to actually put into it. Last fan question. What are you scouting or what are you looking into the play of the law this weekend? What are you scouting out of them?
To be honest, I don't really scout. I was told early on. I'm sorry, I don't. I was told early on when I started playing this by a savvy vet in this game that, you know, you start looking for things and it takes away from what you do naturally because you start guessing or assuming that you see something that might be there, might not be there. So I leave all that up to the coaches and whatever they recommend. I don't watch film.
I actually like that tactic. I agree that sometimes you can overthink something.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Last question I'll get to here. What are your goals in football and after football?
Right now in football, my goal is just to win a championship. Never won one before, so while I'm still playing on whatever level it is, I would love to have some championship or something showing I was, you know, at the top of whatever game I was playing. I'm definitely competitive and always want to be a winner, and nothing screams winner like a championship. So right now I want to win a championship, and, you know, whatever happens, if I'm able, if I'm blessed enough to have an opportunity to play at a higher level, I always welcome that because, I like I said, I do love this game. I do love playing football. And, it's, you know, God willing, I'm able to play at a higher level. I definitely would be welcome to doing that. As far as, you know, after football, Like I told you, I'm a thinker. I'm not naive and think that I'm going to be able to play till I'm 40, even though I'm almost 40. Not quite there yet. But I definitely think that working as an accountant gives me the opportunity right now to set myself up for the future after football. So just building my professional resume and my business resume by doing this while still being able to play the game I love.
Of course, you know, you could always look into coaching as well, because I feel like you have a lot you could still add to the game and teach the next generation coming up.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's all for the questions I had. How can people follow you or get in touch with you or just come hang out?
On all the social media, on Instagram, you can find me at D. Hutch, the number 2. My Twitter is actually dfudge, the number 7. Probably should be the same, but. And my Facebook is Darius Fudge. It's my first and last name, nothing weird. And I'm actually probably the only Darius Fudge in the world. So if you go to find me on Facebook, I'm not very hard to find. If you're ever in North Texas, Frisco, I'm sorry.
I said my stat and technical guy is now currently looking up if you're the only Darius Fudge, so I'm back to you on that.
Yeah, it's true. I'm the only Darius Fudge. If it is somebody else, yeah, imposter, and they need to have the page taken down. But, yeah, I'm the only Darius Fudge, man. And if you're ever in the DFW or North DFW area, I don't go downtown too frequently, but if you're ever in the Northern DFW area, you can find me probably at the gym at LA Fitness.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Darius, it's been great having you on, and good luck on the rest of the season, and congratulations on currently leading the league in 4 different offensive categories.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me, Jim. I really enjoyed it.
And you're welcome back at any time.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
And that was running back Darius Fudge from your Texas Revolution. I don't know about you guys, but that was great. It was a lot of fun having him on. I look forward to a lot of other conversations down the road. Maybe we'll bring in Sonny Clark for that one as well. Sonny has a lot of fun with him. And just the whole Texas Revolution environment, they all get along great with each other, all the way up and down from the bottom of the organization to the top. Everybody gets along. Everybody has a good time. And like I said, that was a lot of fun. Don't get a chance to talk to a lot of people a lot of times, but this time we did. That was a lot of fun for sure. Real quickly, got about 10 minutes left. I'll try to run over some of the game-related stuff I had. There were some technical difficulties on the feed, but I just knew that my good buddy Sonny Clark had all the links that you can find. You can easily find those on our Twitter page, on our Facebook page as well. I listened to Sonny's audio until the video come up, and then went back and watched the video later. Your Texas Revolution ended up defeating the Gladiators, the New Gladiators. I know it says New Mexico Stars on it, but it was the Gladiators. They beat them 56-16, and they pretty much dominated all facets of the game. Special teams still had a few things here and there, but this team's just starting to gel, really starting to play together. You heard him talk about how great the offensive line is, and those three guys sometimes block 2 and 3 people by themselves. That makes it fun as a running back. It almost becomes a video game at that point. And I know Darius definitely appreciates that. Some of the things I saw, at halftime, the Revolution were up 28-2. And Darius already had 2 touchdowns by halftime. Haggerty had 68 yards receiving. That guy's really starting to break out. I really liked what he was doing. The impact player of the week by far is not just because he was my guest, but because he totaled. Let's see if I have the stat in front of me. He had 3 rushing touchdowns and 1 receiving touchdown. By far, your Impact Media Player of the Week is Darius Fudge. Hopefully, we can try to send that award out to him. He can hang it in his locker. I'm sure they would let him do that. If not, maybe we'll take a picture of it or something like that. But the honorable mention for sure is a defensive player that kind of come out of nowhere, or at least I was unfamiliar with him, and that's Scherer. It seemed like he reminded me of Troy Polamalu in the fact that every time you turned around, he was always in on the play. On defense, if there was a tackle, if there was a knockdown pass, if there was anything going on defense, between Frankie Solomon Jr., who will be our guest, I did mention that earlier, who will be our guest next week, between Frankie and Scherer, it seemed like they were in on every single defensive play. Then you had Williams and Dixon with the sack. Once they got the ball back, Kent was able to scramble for a touchdown. It seemed like everything was working well. The Gladiators are a new team, but they do have a lot of their stuff together. You know, they are still on a professional level here. You know, like I said, Robert Williams had another sack later on. I do have to give the Gladiators, I think his name was James Cleveland. He made a ridiculously awesome catch towards the sideline. He jumped over the side barrier, landed in about the third row, still caught the ball. They were able to knock Peterson around and all around all night. By the end of the third, it was 49-9, and you know, that touchdown celebration. That now we know what it means. It means it's time to go to bed, Alice, and it's almost time for us to go to bed here. As far as saying goodnight, Alice, we're almost out of here. Got a few minutes left. This Saturday, I do know that the Revolution will be playing against the Dodge City Law. Start time, as always, is 7 Central. That's 8 for people over here on the East Coast. And if you're out in California, I guess that would be 5. And if my math is correct, it would be 3 p.m. in Hawaii, 4 p.m. in Alaska. Could be completely off on that, but I will almost bet a handful of marbles, which I will have to find now. But Dodge City's a pretty stout team, no joke for sure. None of the teams in this league really are, whether they're new, whether they're old, whether they've been here. It doesn't really matter. Each of these teams can kind of punch you in the mouth and easily steal a victory. So the Revolution are going to have to buckle down and play their game for sure. But that's pretty much going to do it for us this week. I appreciate Mr. Sonny Clark sending in all the questions, comments, and all the other fans that sent in stuff as well. Like I said, definitely appreciate Mr. Darius Fudge, who you can follow on Facebook, Darius Fudge, on Twitter, at DFudge7, and on Instagram, you can find him, DFudge2. Appreciate him being on. Frankie Solomon next week. We'll see you guys then. Thanks for joining us on Revolution Zone.